This is the Drive and Dish Podcast, talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
It seems like the Heat this year, with the way that they're built, they have a lot to prove, and I think that they could potentially be the 2 seed in the East.
Kevin Rayfuse.
It's October 28th. The Spurs play the Thunder. So you got Lamar Saldridge making his debut with San Antonio. You've got Kevin Durant, first game back, coming off foot surgery. You know, we know these teams have battled before, twice in the Western Conference Finals.
Justin Cousins.
You got to get somebody around Davis. Maybe some guards that can get on the ball, so not Lance Stevens.
Let's go.
So every time we have an experience with an NBA player, it seems to be super random. And that trend is going to continue this week. Justin actually met, well, didn't really meet, but he was in the same area as Iman Shumpert last night. So why don't you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, okay. So I was out in Tampa because Chris Brown's tour came by. And we had a meet and greet with Omarion. He's one of the tour members.
Mm-hmm.
It's Omarion, Kid Ink, Chris Brown, who at Migos, Future was there.
Wait, Migos and Future were there?
Oh, dude, it was a freaking sick concert, dude. Oh. It was so much fun.
So ratchet, and I would have been so excited for that.
Oh, dude, it was so ratchet. The girls,
What does ratchet mean?
Nasty and freaking awesome.
Ratchet is nasty.
It's just like hype.
Awesome?
You're like jumping around and just.
Dude, you're just messing up the dance floor. Wow. It was a party the entire time. Kid Ink was there.
I feel like ratchet isn't a positive term, though.
It
like,
is
when I
now.
Think ratchet.
No, it's like.
Well,
people made it.
I don't know, but I wouldn't want to say it's a positive term. It's a little, it depends how you take it, but I feel like people can use it negatively sometimes.
Yeah.
So this is the term that the kids are using?
It's like, you know when girls call each other bitches?
Sure.
It's like that, like sometimes it can be a good thing, like, oh, you bitch, like joking around, but then it's like, if the way you say it,
right,
it can matter.
I can't believe it's the analogy you used.
Sorry, you know.
Well, he was just at a ratchet show.
Oh, I was boy. Just at a ratchet show.
All right, anyway.
So we were there, and we go to do this Omarion interview, and we go backstage, and they've got, like, I mean, they got tour, like, 35 tour buses back there because there's so many people involved in this concert. And Omarion's bus was kind of on the back right area, so we're walking through. And there's this guy standing there, this lanky dude. I mean, huge, taller than everybody, like way taller than everybody, with a backpack. He's got this goatee thing going, his hair. And I look over at him, and I'm like, man, that looks like Iman Shumpert. And then my friend that I had gone with, Jeremy, turned to me and he goes, yeah, that is Iman Shumpert. He's dating the opening act. And I can't.
Yeah, Teyana Taylor.
Teyana Taylor.
They're having a kid together.
They are having a kid. And so he goes, yeah, Iman's dating the opening act. And I go, holy crap. And I watched him. He walked around. He actually shot around with some of the other rappers for a while Jeremy was interviewing Omarion. I kind of, you know, I was there to press record, and then I just stood there.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the whole, like, just kind of watch around. It was awesome. It was really cool.
How was the hair in person, though?
Dude, the hair is legit. Like, it does not translate to TV. Like, it is way more impressive in real life. Like, and even that little goatee thing he had going on was pretty freaking cool.
It sounds like you were in awe.
I was. It was one of those, like Jeremy was freaking out. He's like, oh my God, I'm talking to Omarion, I'm going to freak out. I was like, oh my God, I'm on Shumpert. Like, oh no.
Him and Nerlens have to play on the same team at some point.
You think
just
they will?
So that hair can be together.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
I don't think they're going to that, but come on, that hair together would be awesome.
Now, does that hair, when they talk about their height, do they take into account the hair?
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Embiid and Nerlens joke about all the time, because Embiid's like, Nerlens is taller than me, he's got the hair.
Yeah.
Even though he may not actually be, if you,
well,
you
then
know, cut his hair
and
off.
And Embiid doesn't have a leg.
No, but I mean, officially, when they say... when they say players 5'9", are they taking... Does that count the hair?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
I would assume so, because even, like, a lot of players, they always kind of round up. Like, it's always a generous number when they do it. Like, even
like
weight-wise.
Kevin, when he refers to his height.
We're not even going to get into this now. This is the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. My name is Kevin Rayfuse. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
Ball don't lie.
And behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Cousart.
Hashtag World Beard Day. Huh. My beard and I thank you for this day, world. And a picture of this said person with their very impressive beard, actually.
I hope it's Harden.
No.
John Wall.
No.
Isaiah Thomas.
No.
Nick Cannon.
You will never guess this guy.
Nick Stauskas.
Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon? Like from Wild and Out?
What?
Like, Nick Cannon. No, Quincy Acey.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quincy Acey was he looks older than he really is. Like, I thought he was in the league for years, but he's relatively young.
Yeah, he's got Reggie Evans syndrome.
Yeah.
They look like they're 45 years old.
Yeah, no, I thought he was a vet, and then I was reading something on him the other day, and no, he's only been in the league for a few years.
Wow.
That's crazy. But anyway, so usually this is the part of the show where we read an iTunes review, and we've gotten so many from multiple countries over the last 2 weeks, and we promise we will be getting back to that, but we are going to take a bit of a change this week. We actually got an email through our website, and this, so we want to read that. I guess it's a review. It's not on iTunes, but so this is from Gregory Brantley, and it's also regarding our upcoming fantasy basketball league, which Tim is going to talk about in a second. But before that, the message goes, "Hey guys, while I was trying to fill the gap between the NBA Summer League and the start of the football season, I came across your podcast on TuneIn. You guys were talking about being at the Orlando Summer League and Justin being drunk while Tim had to walk all the way back to the hotel because Kevin ditched him.
Don't bring that up again.
That was the most unique opening to a podcast I had heard in a while. Thus, I have added your show to my weekly listens up there with the NBA Lockdown and the Low podcast. I would love to be a part of your upcoming 12-team fantasy league before you guys get hired at ESPN or Fox Sports and forget about the little people. P.S. Justin, you guys are much higher than a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. Sincerely, Gregory Brantley."
Yeah, so thank you so much, Greg. So if you want to go to our website and you don't want to leave a review or you just want to say something to us, it's just driveanddishpodcast.com. There's a little contact link. It emails us. We see all of them. We respond to most of them. We really appreciate it. But in regards to the fantasy draft, so last year we had what I thought was a lot of fun. It was a fantasy league with a bunch of our listeners. And we're going to do it again this year. Apparently more people listen to the podcast now than they used to. So we've had a lot of people asked to join the draft. And so what we're going to do is, if you go to our Facebook page and you like us at Drive and Dish NBA, we're going to have the first post you're going to see is calling out for anybody that wants to join the fantasy league. Simply leave your email and we're going to do some sort of lottery for them. We haven't really figured out how we're going to do it yet, right?
Yeah, we're still working on that. We'll let you guys know.
Trying to figure out a fair way to do it. But regardless, if you want to join the fantasy draft, you have to like our Facebook page and then leave your email under the contact.
You know what would be cool? And we might have to do this, is get all the emails, write them down on a hat, and do a live video Periscope of us drawing the names of the people that get to be on the in the league with us.
Yeah, we're trying to figure it out. Actually, since you're bringing up Periscope, also, if you're an avid listener and you're ever free around noon Florida time on a Saturday.
Eastern Standard Time. Florida time.
Well, you know,
Florida time, we're always late for everything. So.
Right. But anyway, just log on to Twitter, follow us on Twitter, and then we always post a link to Periscope. But regardless, the point of this whole conversation is that we're really looking forward to doing this fantasy league with our listeners. Again, like the Drive and Dish NBA on Facebook and then leave your email and we're going to figure out a fair way to get everybody involved.
Absolutely. But why don't we
tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now, if you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, Nate Robinson is considering an offer from a team over in China. He played for the Nuggets and Clippers last season. Jrue Holiday will be back for the Pelicans training camp, but he's going to have a minutes restriction. He has been dealing with some injuries in the past. It's been reported that the Timberwolves still want to trade Ricky Rubio. We'll see if they can find a deal. Another report says that Kevin Durant is considering the Knicks. He's being recruited by Carmelo Anthony. John Wall got a $20,000 portrait of himself for his birthday. You can see the photo up on our Twitter. Gilbert Arenas' former assistant is convicted of stealing $2.1 million from Gilbert. And lastly, in your news, Dwight Howard was stopped at an airport for possessing a Glock 26 9mm gun in his bag. It was loaded. You obviously can't take those into airports, Dwight. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
So it looks like everybody in Texas has a gun. This was a sentiment that Justin shared earlier. And Dwight Howard, who is often funny and often stupid all at the same time, brought a loaded pistol in his carry-on to the airport.
Like you always see the galleries of this, because this happens kind of frequently. And you always see the galleries, and you're like, why would you bring a loaded gun to the airport and think that that's a good idea and that you can get it on a plane.
You know, and I bet what it was is, like, the gun was just in his bag and he didn't realize.
Oh,
like,
yeah, because everybody just has loaded guns in their bag.
Well, I mean, like I've
it.
Had scissors in my backpack and forgot to take them out, and then they're
that's not a loaded gun.
That's not a loaded gun.
You can still hurt someone with scissors.
Yeah, you can hurt someone with your shoe, too, but what does that mean?
I'm just saying, I get it. I don't think was an accident.
If you don't... Was it?
Dwight Howard's not going to the freaking airport like, yo, I'm going to light this place up. Like,
I sure hope not.
Yeah, like...
But if you forget that you're carrying a loaded gun, then you just don't need to be carrying one. Well, like, if that's something that can slip your mind for any reason, I know exactly where my guns are.
Right.
I know the position they're leaning. Like, I know whether or not they're loaded. I know where the shells are for those guns.
Right.
You're talking about a loaded gun. You do not forget that you have a loaded gun anywhere.
I hope that safety was on. Shit.
Right?
Did anyone else just picture Stan Van Gundy going, Dwight, come on! Just in that impression that he always used to do.
Well, so apparently there was a new law passed in Texas relatively recently in that it protected him, and he's not going to get in trouble now. Like, he's okay. He won't get fined or you know, do any jail time. I don't think he'd do jail
time. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't need to go to jail for it. It's just stupid.
Yeah, well, that's
the whole point of this. Like, you know, you know, it's like he shot somebody, if it had gone off and done something, then yeah, don't waste my tax dollars putting him in jail over this.
Well, and you know, I guess, you know, I don't want to bring this show to like a dark, dark spot, but there also was another story that just recently came out of a kid who was taking a selfie with a gun and accidentally, you know, shot himself, which is...
I shouldn't be laughing, but honestly... So instead of hitting the snap picture button,
this is also in Texas, by the way.
He pulled the trigger because you forget which hand is doing what. But there's no reason you should be pointing a gun at your head and taking a picture for any reason.
This has to be a finalist for the Darwin Awards this year. You guys know the Darwin Awards?
I feel like it's going to be the something along the lines of...
dumbest people.
What's the wording I'm looking
for? It's the silliest ways in which people kill themselves accidentally.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, there was one time, my favorite one ever is a guy, he was in the military, this was in New Mexico, I think, and he stole a jet takeoff engine. And he decided to strap it to his Pathfinder because he wanted to see how fast it could go.
Oh, God.
And all they found were the marks and, like, maybe one remnant of a tire when this thing just took off and just combusted.
Well, okay then. Like I said, I didn't want to bring the episode to a dark spot, so let's...
let's exit
out of that dark spot that I brought us to.
No, it looks like, it looks like he's not going to face any charges. NBA isn't going to fine him. And I was thinking about it to you the other day. I don't find anything wrong with athletes carrying guns. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago on the podcast about that fan that was following Steph Curry for like 40 miles or something.
Yeah,
right.
Well, as long as you're doing it responsibly and within the law, absolutely. It's within your rights to carry a gun. It's protected by the Second Amendment of the Constitution.
Well, and these are athletes that
I've seen people go absolutely crazy.
So.
Like, so the other day when I was at the concert, we had it was like a meet and greet thing for Chris Brown, and so we went to it, and like... some of those girls, like, the security guards had to be like, dude, just be cool. Like, don't kiss him. Don't try to hump him. Whatever you're doing. Like, no.
People are crazy.
Like, it's like, just walk in there, say, hey, man, what's up? Like, you killed it tonight, and walk out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I get it, starstruck and stuff like that, but, like, there was a girl there at Kid Ink, like, shook her hand, and she fell on the floor screaming, and, like, I thought she was having a seizure. Whatever. He kind of looks like Allen Iverson a little bit. But even so, it's like, I don't get it when you freak out that much. Like,
that actually happens to ladies when they shake Justin's hand. He's being humble here and won't admit it.
I walk down the street and I just, hi.
How he got his ball in the first place.
Absolutely.
Actually, yeah. Just one shake of the hand and it was done deal. I hope she doesn't listen.
But you are listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Tim Tompkins, Kevin Rayfuse, Justin Kuzar. If you haven't had a chance yet, hit us up on the Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA. So one of the fantastic things about August and September is, apart from Euro basketball, which I hope everybody's watching, I'm sure nobody is.
No, Dario Saric. I'm on Saric watch.
All right, yeah. Team Canada, I'm looking at you. Like, literally, I've watched every single game of Team Canada.
Yeah.
Anthony Bennett.
Stauskas is looking all right.
Dude, Stauskas,
Wiggins is playing.
Man. Well, okay. So let's talk about Stauskas for a minute.
Okay.
I cannot believe that the 76ers were able to poach Stauskas. Like, that kid can shoot.
Dude, that video I posted up on our Twitter if you want to check it out. He went and he was outside in the rain, like, I guess his front yard or something like that, shooting threes. Like, he had the basketball court painted on. he made like 97 of the 100 shots that he took. And it was it's like a 5-minute video. It's up on our Twitter if you want to check it out. But
yeah, and this is all because DeMarcus Cousins didn't like him.
Yeah, I tweeted out. I was like, this is what the Kings gave us for
not only nothing. Did they just give him that, they also gave us the right to swap picks. Like, it gets worse.
Yeah.
I wasn't kidding when that might be the best Sinky trade of all time.
So speaking of the 76ers, one of my greatest concerns with the Sixers, and I believe we've talked about this before, but you have Nerlens Noel, Okafor. And one of my biggest concerns is that your guys' front court is that those players are going to develop bad habits because they aren't playing with guards that can get them the ball. And right. So they're getting the ball out of position and they're learning to force shots that they shouldn't be forcing. And that's been one of my main concerns with the development of the 76ers. The Suns a couple of years ago drafted a nice kid out of, I don't remember, with their number 14 overall pick, and he was horrendous. However, one thing Kendall Marshall can do is he can pass the ball, and right. He can get players the ball in places that they like it. So I actually really, really like this pickup for the 76ers.
Yeah, I'm excited. It seems like the deal is a multi-year deal, but the first-year salary is guaranteed, so it seems like he's going to make the team this year, you know, coming off ACL surgery. But like you said, there are two things he does well. Passes the ball, and he has a little bit of an outside shot. And mm-hmm. That's what the Sixers are looking for, ideally, in a point guard. You need somebody who's going to get the ball to Jahlil Okafor in the post. You need somebody who's going to get Nerlens Noel involved in the pick and roll a little bit. Kendall Marshall can do both of those things. And like you said, I mean, the point guard is by far the biggest position of concern for the Sixers right now. And so now you have Kendall Marshall, Tony Roten, Pierre Jackson, and potentially Isaiah Cannon. You know, one of them, I hope, is out of the mix. Personally, I think it should be Cannon, but I also think Cannon sticks around. Mm-hmm. But regardless, you know, you need somebody, and I think Marshall could, I think he very well could be this team's starting point guard this year. I think he has, like you said, he just needs to pass the ball. He doesn't need to be the centerpiece of that offense.
No, right. You don't want him shooting.
Well, and the other thing that's pretty cool, and this was the first thing I noticed about the trade, is in 2013, 2014, he played about 30 minutes, which is, you know, his one full season, so take it as it is, but he played in 2013, 2014 with the Lakers. He averaged 30 minutes a game, and he was only behind Chris Paul in assists per game that year.
He was a thing in fantasy that year.
Yeah, and on top of that, he was fifth overall in assist to turnover ratio. So, like, he can do it. Like, he's been there. He knows how to do it. So, you know, it's just been, you know, that ACL thing's a little bit of a concern. But, you know,
Don't kid yourselves, though. Like, Kendall Marshall is not a good basketball player. I think this is helpful for the Sixers given their development, but he's not a good basketball
player. Oh, yeah, no. When the Sixers are in position to
win a
contend
game
and win more, I think that Kendall Marshall should obviously not be our point guard. I think that'll be addressed in the draft next year. But as a stopgap in the meantime, and to help Okafor and Noel continue to develop, I think Kendall Marshall can run the offense.
Oh, well, that's what he does well. Like, I think this is a fantastic pickup for you guys. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but I'm worried that Okafor and Noel are going to learn to force shots. And because they don't have guards that can get on the ball in places they like. And as you alluded to, Kevin, or maybe not alluded to, but actually said, you're going to get Nerlens Noel in pick-and-pop situations, which if he's going to play next to Okafor, he needs to develop that outside shot a little bit. Okafor is going to be able to get the ball posting up in spots that are favorable to him, and I think it's huge for the Sixers.
Well, and that's something that Nerlens Noel has been working on extensively, and he knows, I think, that if he wants to be on this team long-term, that he has to, especially in a starting lineup aspect, is that he has to learn the four because Okafor is such a post guy. The other guy who I think is going to really benefit from Okafor just being on the floor is Covington, because one of Okafor, not, you know, with all the doubles he's going to command in the post, Okafor is an excellent passer. Covington and guys like Hollis Thompson and Stauskas, if they start getting open looks, you know, that's ideally what you want. The thing with the Sixers to watch this year is they've been a run and gun team, but the fact of the matter is with Okafor you have to slow it down. So it's going to be interesting to see how they balance getting out and running, but also having to run a half-court offense.
Well, with Kendall Marshall, too.
Right.
I mean, he's not a fast player. I always kind of felt like the Suns gave up on him a little bit too soon, but there was a time when Kendall Marshall, he has a terrible shot, and he came in after the summer, and he hadn't worked on his jump shot. That was the one thing they said, you need to work on. You need to work on this. You need to do it. And he came back, and it just showed, like, he didn't.
I never got that. Like, if like, that's your profession. Like, if I'm at work and my boss, he's like, the one thing I need you to do is work on your, you know, production skill or your editing skill. First thing I do is, all right, I'm locking that down. The next few weeks, that's what my main focus is. Like, I just don't get it. Like, why would you be like, no, that's not my thing.
In radio, I don't know if you guys are the same, but I know for myself that I have weekly coaching sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And
every Monday.
Oh, right. There you go. And where they talk to you about certain issues, and you are expected to work on those issues.
Yeah, of course.
They don't expect you to solve them right away.
No,
but if your employer is saying you need to work on this and you don't, it just shows a lack of commitment. So I understand the Suns getting rid of them, even if I felt like it was a bit too early.
And this translates to basketball too. Is a lot of time in radio, you'll find your crutch word or your crutch statement. And a lot of people, it's or, you know, it's. Like, mine's it's. I say it's a lot when I'm on the radio station.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's like, or mm-hmm. from reading news, it's now.
Yeah.
I'll have
and
a
so,
lot of nows.
And it helps
there.
When somebody points out.
A lot of nows? Like
yeah.
Like N-O-W?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like when I transition between stories or come off a switch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You say and now?
Well, not and now, but I'll just say.
Now on to.
Now if
this,
it's like
now
a different
that.
Point of the story.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm going to start listening.
And you'll pick up on it when and the thing is you're not gonna realize it. It takes somebody else to tell you.
Yeah,
and
you need someone to notice it. If you do it, I would have never picked that up. Even listening to me because I don't look for it. You need and that's the whole value of coaching is that you have people to do that.
So then bringing it back to why this relates to basketball is in basketball during your game you're probably gonna have that crutch thing that you do or you know that one thing that you are doing that. Actually isn't good for your game and you need to switch and that you take somebody else to watch the game and show you or you sit down with them and they show you and hey this is the one thing you need to fix and if you just blow it off and don't do it I think that shows that you either don't respect the coaching's ability to tell you what's wrong or you just don't think that it's actually a big deal.
So I'm I think it's a really good pickup for the Sixers. I think in 2 or 3 years he probably won't be on the team unless he drastically improves. But I think it's a good pickup.
One. But you're listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rafuse, Tim Tompkins, Justin Kuzar. Like us on Facebook at Drive and Dish NBA podcast. So there's only one Sixer that was on this list, and that's the Sports Illustrated Top 100 list. Nerlens Noel was 97, but this list was making a lot of waves this week. You had a lot of different people talking mm-hmm. about it, where players were ranked. You know, the top 10 is out. I know one stat that was interesting before we get into who is in the top 10 is 2 through 12 all play in the Western Conference.
Wow. Wow.
So that should be a dead giveaway for who's number one.
LeBron.
And it also should be show you how good the Western Conference is mm-hmm. relative to the East.
My thing about the top 10, and I guess we're going to get into maybe some ones that were noticeable, though, is that the top 10, you had those three or four guards right there. You had a Chris Paul, Curry, Westbrook, and James Harden. And I just think deciding what order to put those guards in particular would have been so difficult because they're all very good and they're all incredible players. But it's just kind of a situational thing.
Well, and they're all very different, too. I mean, you look at, just look at those four. You have Chris Paul, who is your typical point guard, who's exactly like who you want playing point guard to a blueprint. You have Steph Curry, who, is such a dynamic shooter. We have Harden, who, for example, is so good at getting to the free throw line. And then you have Westbrook, who's just relentless with his athleticism and just the way he can attack.
Right.
Yeah, they all have noticeable flaws, I think. So you had Westbrook who came in at 7th, Paul at 6th, James Harden at 5, and Curry at 4. I just think that you can look at flaws in every single one of those players.
Right.
Except for Chris Paul. That's the only player where I'm like, I don't know a single flaw in Chris Paul's game. I just don't.
He's too short.
Maybe Curry,
I'm hard-pressed to find one too, honestly.
Yeah, Curry, I think he could be a better facilitator than he is.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're really.
I feel like he could.
We're really picking straws because I feel like he facilitates well, but I guess.
Okay,
like,
well, with James Harden and Westbrook in particular, you can look at flaws in their games
and
really point those out. So maybe less so with Steph Curry, but definitely not, in my opinion, with Chris Paul. And so I would have put Chris Paul higher. I would have had Chris Paul either at the 4th or the 5th. I wouldn't put James Harden above that.
I think it also just comes down to the fact, though, is that you know, when you need buckets, you can kind of count on Harden to get them, and you can count on Curry to get buckets. Chris Paul, scoring is not his facility, or it's not his main strength, I should say. And I think that's why they're saying, you know, if you need somebody to take over a game, which I don't think that's true, because we saw Chris Paul take over game 7 of that Spurs series earlier this year. But it's just the eye test is more favorable to Curry and Harden in that aspect than Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Do you think Tim Duncan deserved to be at 11?
Tim Duncan, there was a point in that series, these last playoffs with the Spurs against the Clippers, where Tim Duncan was definitely the best player on the floor. If you look at Tim Duncan, like, his minutes are managed throughout the course of a regular season.
Right.
And he seems to not be able to, he's not aging, which is really great.
Well, yeah.
And so it's hard to say with him, because there's some of these other players that are on this list that are able to just straight up carry their team.
Right.
If you look at Tim Duncan, he's amazing when he's out there, but his minutes are limited.
Well, and so the other thing I wanted to point out is so the number 10 spot's Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
The number 11 spot's Tim Duncan. The number 12 spot's LaMarcus Aldridge. That's the same team in this, like, back-to-back-to-back spots in the top 15.
I just don't know what that would have put LaMarcus Aldridge at 11th.
Would you put... See, I would almost argue that at this point in Tim Duncan's career, LaMarcus Aldridge should be in front of him.
Tim Duncan was really incredible last year.
Oh, I agree, but like you said, he's not... I mean, I guess he's winning games, but he's not playing the minutes Westbrook's putting in. He's not playing the minutes that...
No, and that has to be taken into account, right?
I would assume. I mean, I don't know. I that's just my thoughts. Maybe that's not what they're thinking, but I don't know. I just thought that was something that was crossing my mind. I thought it was funny that, one, the Spurs had 3 of the top 15, and also that I wasn't sure whether or not LaMarcus should be behind Tim or if Tim should be behind. Because looking at Tim Duncan's career, obviously way in front of LaMarcus Aldridge, but they're looking for next year, right? So, you know, I guess take it what it is. And so I wanted to bring this up. Kevin, you talked about how there was only one Sixer on the list,
mm-hmm.
and that's Nerlens Noel. He's at 97.
Yeah.
I just think there were some players that were in front of him, and maybe this is me just being biased that, like,
Homer.
No, but Lou Williams is in front of him. Is Lou Williams really better than
at this point in
Nerlens?
His career? Absolutely. Yeah, Nerlens is like a second-year player.
Nerlens is still a lot of, yeah, it's a lot of potential. I mean, we know what he can do on the defensive end already, but the fact of the matter is he still has
Lou Williams is playing like a six-man role, which
he's a one-trick pony, but he does that trick.
Yeah, and to be
really
fair,
well.
Lou Williams would start on the Sixers if he was currently there.
That's true. I don't know. I thought that it was weird that he was there. And the other one, I
kind of thought he was weird he was on the list at all.
Ew, Nerlens? You don't think he's top 100?
I mean, I think there were probably some, like, you know, anybody that's in the upper 90s is obviously a fringe player, no matter how you break
it
down.
Well, there were only two rookies.
Was what, 100?
100. He was number 100.
Like, shouldn't he be above Nerlens,
well,
honestly?
I honestly would argue that I think...
Is he, though, or is he still just potential? Adetokounmpo's athleticism and what he can be is what's tantalizing about him. He hasn't really put it all together yet. He's still growing. Nerlens, at least on the defensive end, you know what you're getting.
Okay, fine. But then, do you think, because the one I was really happy that made the list is Monte Unis made the list.
I saw that. I was thinking, I bet you this makes Justin happy.
98, but, you know, is Adetokounmpo lower than Monte Unis? Which, if you look at Monte Unis...
Shouldn't Monte be above Nerlens at that point? I mean, we're kind of picking straws here, but
injuries,
Monte Unis...
Though.
Injuries is
Monte
a problem,
Unis.
But if you look at what Monte Unis did while Dwight Howard was out, he was the main center that was holding it down while Howard was out and really helped them get there.
You sure did love that stretch, didn't you?
Oh, I love that stretch. Like, he's just...
Did you pick him up in fantasy? Is that why you're so high on him from that, like, 1 month?
No, I did. I actually might have picked him up in fantasy. I don't remember. So the last one I was kind of surprised at is Fareed. How low he is on the
plummeted.
List. He's at 88.
Where was he last year? Do you know?
He was number 77 last year.
Well, it's not quite plummeted.
It just seems like his stock was much higher at one point, and you thought he'd take a leap.
Because he came off that Olympic run is what it was. But he, like, Fareed's not that good of a player.
Right.
He just, you can't really run an offense around him.
No, and he's not good defensively.
So that's two big problems. He's just, he's really athletic, and he hustles and does a lot of the dirty work that way, but... there's limits on that, unfortunately.
Yeah, the Nuggets signing him to that big contract still just
4-year, $50 million.
You know what was interesting to me? Not to get off Fried for a second. We'll come back to that, but first, it just shows like how hyped the 2014 draft class was and how unlucky they've been. There's only two players from that draft class on the Nerlens Noel technically wasn't in that draft class, but he was a rookie last year, right. The same way Mirotić wasn't, but Mirotić didn't make this list. And then Wiggins made it, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's for as much hype as in 2014.
You said Mirotić didn't?
Mirotić did not make top 100.
I think Mirotić is going, when you're looking at
he's
players
going
who are going, who are could be in store for a breakout season next year. Like, Mirotić is essentially everything you want out of a stretch four, and I think he's going to have a phenomenal year. I'm surprised he didn't
make the
list.
Are you going to pick him up in fantasy?
Possibly. It depends on how late of a round you can get him in. Like, right. He wouldn't be in my top eight.
Right.
Picks.
Well, and so I'm looking at it right now. Two of the players that dropped a lot, Deron Williams, obviously, he's at 83 now. He was at 45 last year.
Yeah, and even that's debatable.
And yeah, and right behind him, Joe Johnson was at 51 last year. He's at 82.
I mean,
both dropped.
That's probably, like, Joe Johnson at this point in his career is probably a slightly below league average shooting guard.
Would you still say Deron Williams is better than him, though? Because they got him.
No. So Tim, a guest that we've, a friend of the show we've had on several times, he was asking me, he's like, why does the NBA, or why do they make a top 100 players list for the NBA? Because that's essentially most of the starters. He's like, that's the equivalent in football to making a top 1,000 list. You know, like,
why are they making this?
Why isn't it top 50?
They make it top 100 because look who's talking about it right now. We're talking about it right now.
ESPN makes a top 500.
Really?
Yeah, you want to really get into it. They have players that aren't even in the league right now.
I think a lot of the reason why they put this out, Sports Illustrated, is because they get people in the media, radio, podcast, satellite radio, all of that talking about this top 100 list and therefore talking about them. Like, they're the ones that compile this. They drop it at a super convenient time when nothing is going on in the NBA. And trust me, I know nothing is going on because it was bleak trying to write this episode right here. Yeah. And I did want to talk about FIBA a bit, but I honestly assume that neither one of you guys are really going to be watching it. So it would just be me saying
that
Canada looks good.
I've seen a little bit, yeah. I mean, I've seen the highlights. Anthony Bennett is playing surprisingly well, so that's good to see. You know, you hope the kid gets a break eventually.
Do you guys have the ESPN app for your
mm-hmm.
you
I do. Yes.
You can, all the games are under replay for the ESPN app.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check them out then.
Yeah, I'll be watching. Just been invested in football lately, man. That's been the biggest thing for me is preseason football.
FIBA basketball. Anyway, Team Canada, if you look at Team Canada, you're looking at all these other teams. Team Canada, every single one of their players is an NBA player. You're looking at these other teams, and they're lucky to have one or two. I think in a few years, like Canada,
could
Team Canada could rock the Olympics. Not this next one, but like the one after.
It's been a cultural revolution up there. Just even with Toronto, we've talked about how the Raptors have become a more inspired franchise as of late, with the fan base getting way more involved, it seems like. And there's a lot of players making impact. You know, it's the same way. And our Aussie listeners are going to love to hear this. You know, you look at some of the top prospects for next year, and they're all Australian. Ben Simmons, Thon Maker. So, you know, basketball, America is still the home of basketball. It's always going to be, but the international game is catching up. It's been catching up for a while now. It's not just Spain anymore.
Yeah, Spain, you only have Pau Gasol who's playing. You know, Marc Gasol's not playing.
Yeah, well, yeah, but in the past, if you have Spain at your peak, they have a lot more players, you know, added
talking,
by
like,
the fact that
this specific run at FIBA basketball. So anyway, did you guys, there was a whole lot of hype to Kobe coming on the Shaq podcast. And so I'm listening to the Shaq podcast. I know I said this before, but his podcast is so awful. Like, it is just, he has his, I don't care. I'll say it. It's horrendous. I hate his podcast. He has this like radio announcer guy that essentially is doing all of the work for him.
Okay.
But have either of you guys listened to the Shaq podcast?
Yeah, I did.
The radio announcer guy that he has, he's doing his job and everything, but he sounds like a radio announcer. You know, it doesn't, a podcast, the reason why people listen to podcasts is because it's not radio.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want a podcast to sound like radio. So why are you bringing on a radio announcer to make it sound like a radio show? If you want a radio show, just go on Sirius and get on
you
the
gotta
NBA
pay for
channel.
That. Yeah, pay for that. Sirius is expensive.
Well,
don't
I'm
you?
Sure that they would pick them up. I'm just saying, like, don't put out a podcast and then make it sound like a radio show.
Well,
that's my irritation with the whole thing.
Well,
and there's commercials all of the time. I hate the Shaq podcast. It's awful. It's so awful.
But did you listen to the Kobe interview? I guess is why we're talking about this. They're not just here to hate on Shaq.
Well, Shaq's great. I just think his show's garbage. Yeah, it was a session of ball washing. It was like, you're really good. You're really nice.
The intro,
I think you're great too. No, you're the great one.
Then he talks about how he didn't appreciate playing with him until he played with Dwight.
Yeah, so they released those sound bites before the episode, but I feel like everything that was worth hearing was released prior to it.
Yeah, the intro was kind of awkward, honestly. It was just like, Shaq was like, Kobe, man, you know I never hated you. And then Kobe's just like, yeah. And it was just, I'm just like, listen to it. It was cringeworthy. I mean, it got better, obviously. And it's good to see that, you know, hear these two together again and, you know, reminiscing about the Lakers, you know, the glory days, what could have been, what was. I mean, they still won 3 championships together.
That's the thing that his podcast can do that we will never be able to do. We won't be able to sit there and be like, remember the days when we were in the NBA? I remember dropping 3 ballers.
Remember when Justin worked part-time and Kevin worked overnight and Tim was like barely the lowest traffic anchor?
Hey, no, I was it was traffic producer. I feel like we need to start differentiating this because that term is thrown around loosely in the studio, but there's a difference between an anchor and a producer. Let's get that out right now.
There
was one day when we first started this podcast when Justin and I were both part-time and Kevin was working overnights.
Yeah.
And that has changed. So we'll have that we can look back on. Hey, we might even one day be able to say, remember when we worked in radio for somebody else?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you never know
According to some of our reviews, they think that. A lot of the reviews think that we're going to forget about them. Because
we will never forget about. I would have know who has been listening to this podcast from day one. Don't you worry.
I mean, yeah, I'll remember. But I'm saying if ESPN pays me to forget about you,
why would we?
Sorry.
What do you mean? Why would they not?
If ESPN pays me to forget about you.
Why would they do that?
If they're like, yo,
because it's ESPN.
But why? But would they want our fan base?
Yeah, but if they want us to change our name, change our shit, like, I'm out.
Well, the starters changed their name.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, there's on satellite radio, there's a show called The Starting Lineup. And every time I hear it, I just think, you guys know who you ripped off, right?
That was our...
Are you pretending to not know
that? That was Malik Rose's show, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it was Malik Rose's on that until he got the Hawks gig.
Yeah, on satellite radio, I just hit play and then I listen for hours. But anyway, so... Countdown to NBA 2K16. It comes out September 29th.
Yes.
Kevin doesn't have a console. Justin and I both do. So before it comes out, Justin has an Xbox 360. I have a PS3. If you guys are on there, please, by all means, add us, play us. We're so excited. I know, personally, I've been playing a lot more NBA 2K because of the offseason right now.
Yep.
Are you guys going to upgrade at all? I'm just curious.
No, because with a PlayStation 4, you have to pay $10 a month for the live or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Internet.
I pay $50 a year for Xbox Live.
Right. Well, with the PS3, it's free. So I'm not going to upgrade.
Wait, they make it charge for the PS4, but they didn't retroactively go back and they don't make you pay for PS3?
Right.
Huh.
And
I thought they'd try to get money out of that and then encourage you to go to PS4, you know?
Right.
Interesting.
Who knows? But yeah, so yeah, I'm all down to play on Xbox 360 because, I mean, I've been jonesing for some basketball to start
up. I'm just
so
washed on the video game front. Like, I don't even know how this happened, but because I had a 360. I used to play Halo. I used to play Gears of War. I used to play Call of Duty. I used to play a few of the sports games, and I just like haven't picked up the sticks unless I'm going over to somebody's house in like 5 years.
Yeah, no, I love it. So NBA 2K, as I have given away the only couple of games I had that were for my PlayStation, except for NBA 2K. So now I have 3 of them going back 3 years, about to have my 4th. A few player ratings came out, the ones we know. And so we'll talk about those. Kobe Bryant has his lowest rating of his career. He went from a 93 to an 85. Now, part of this is because they're comparing players now against the all-time player. So if you look at Kevin Durant has a 91. That's because he's being compared to everyone that's ever played.
Well, you know why I think they're doing that is because they're making these legend teams that you can play with, and I think they're even making college teams that you can play with now.
Yeah, the Phoenix Suns finally have a legend team on NBA. It's the 2004 Phoenix Suns. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, so that's the thing is they need to make it so that if you're playing with a legend team, the legend team is going to be a lot better, or, you know, it's going to be noticeable that you're playing with a legend team or you're playing with a college team. So
right.
I like the idea. I like the idea a lot. I think
also it's really annoying when you're playing against somebody and they're Kevin Durant or LeBron James, which is
dropping.
Like a 99 player rating, and no matter what you do, they just make the shot every
single
time.
I love when
I do that. And there's
nothing
you can do.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I'm excited to see what other player ratings come out. I always love when players feel like they got shafted on the player rating and
they
tweet
Ronnie. Well, we have a few of them.
Oh, what are they?
So, again, Kobe Bryant went from a 93 to 85. What do you guys think?
I probably were probably right.
Or maybe a little bit too high.
Just with the injuries, I don't know about that. I think 85's fair. But just with the injuries, and it's just the end.
It is the end. I'm actually going to be seeing Kobe Bryant play my Phoenix Suns November 15th, I believe, in Arizona. Yeah.
Do you think he'll make it?
Yeah. I know, right? Well,
are you driving to Arizona or are you flying?
Flying. But I'm centering my entire trip around that basketball game. So.
Okay.
Hassan Whiteside.
Wow.
This is awesome for him because he was really working on getting his player rating up. He went from a 59 to an 81.
Wow.
Deservingly. I feel like this was his coming out year. So
81 still, I think, is a bit too high. We said it earlier, but Kevin Durant's at a 91. The lowest that Kevin Durant has been in the last 3 years. He went from a 95 to a 94 to a 95 to a 91. So
he didn't play. So
it's just the uncertainty with the foot injury.
Yep.
You know, that's what. As much as Thunder fans don't want to hear this, you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Drummond is at an 83. He stayed the same as he was last year.
Fair.
Yeah,
I don't think he's done anything to make it go up or down.
He hasn't made that proverbial leap yet.
I think he's going to this year, though.
I hope you're right. I feel like we've been saying that for 2 years.
Well,
so,
he's only in his third year. Greg Monroe is he's not fighting for minutes with Greg Monroe anymore. I think that's just going to be absolutely huge for him.
And Josh Smith isn't there,
right? Rudy Gobert went from a 71 to a 79.
Probably good. Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm.
His defensive rating's got to be like a 97. It's right. Crazy.
John Wall went from an 86 to an 87. So do you guys think that John Wall is only 2 percentage points better than Kobe Bryant?
Mm. Well, it becomes interesting then. And then the counter argument is, do you think John Wall's only 3 percentage points lower than Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
And that's where it kind of gets dicey.
But he does take over games. He does win games for them. So,
I know, but I think that Kevin Durant is just... leaps and bounds above better than everybody else except for Davis and LeBron James.
Okay.
So next up we have Isaiah Thomas. He stays at an 81.
I feel like he's been in the news a lot this offseason about how much he's doing, you know, with other games going on and how he's playing so well.
I just think while there's a lot to like about Isaiah Thomas, he still kind of plays like a bonehead sometimes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he was the last pick in the draft.
Well, right, and there's something to be said about him still being in the league and still being a factor. You know, he's definitely, there are a lot of things to like about Isaiah Thomas, but I think 81 is probably accurate with some of the flaws in this game.
Terrence Ross dropped from a 76 to a 73.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
How is that a random rating that came out already?
They release them in waves.
Oh, it's just kind of interesting to see Terrence Ross on this list with some of these guys.
Yeah, no, they release him in waves, so they'll have a couple of the star players you really care about.
And then, like, one or two that don't matter too much.
Yeah, they release
Although I'll
waves.
Say, Terrence Ross is fun to play it with as in NBA 2K and just have him just dunk the ball every single time he drives. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think, Justin, that you should buy a PS3 so we can play online against each other.
Oh, yeah, I'll go get that.
You work in radio. You got the money.
Yep. Okay.
Tens of dollars. Tens
so, Drive and Dougal.
Please, teach me how to
play basketball.
Gee, let me sink. Sure.
The Drive and Dougal.
Wait, what's that?
It's like Google, if it's just the NBA.
This week on The Drive and Dougal, I'm going to talk about the quadruple-double. First, for some perspective, it was impossible for players to get a quadruple-double before the 1973-1974 season because block shots and steals weren't measured. Thus, it's possible that players like Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Oscar Robertson, and even Jerry West could have had one. That being said, being in double digits in 4 statistical categories is so rare that, ironically, it's only happened 4 times. Nate Thurmond was the first one to pull off the feat in 1974, playing for the Bulls, dropping 22 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists, and 12 blocks. That game, though, did go into overtime, so he had a little help. Alvin Robertson was the next to pull off the feat in 1986, playing for the Spurs, scoring 20 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, and 10 steals. Robertson also did this in the shortest amount of time, getting his quadruple-double in just 36 minutes. Now, the next 2 quadruple-doubles came from legends, Hakeem Olajuwon in 1990 and David Robinson in 1994. Olajuwon had 18 points, 16 rebounds, 11 blocks, and 10 assists, while Robinson Thompson had 34 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 10 blocks, and perhaps the most impressive quadruple-double. There have been a number of notable close calls, including Larry Bird, who sat out an entire fourth quarter when he needed one steal, telling Coach Casey Jones, quote, "I've already done enough damage." Rick Barry and Clyde Drexler also just missed, as did Olajuwon for what would have been a second. No NBA players pulled off the quintuple-double, but we'd imagine if they did, it would be the greatest game of all time.
Mail call.
You've got mail.
Gather around, everyone.
Oh, boy.
So the first question comes on Facebook from Gregory Brantley. He asks, what non-top tier teams are you guys looking forward to seeing on League Pass this upcoming season?
Oh, I love this. The Jazz.
Yeah.
I really want to watch the Pistons. The Timberwolves.
Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think?
Well, Milwaukee's not a top-tier team, probably.
No, but they'd be exciting to watch.
That I'm excited to watch. Now, probably the Orlando Magic, the Jazz, and the Timberwolves are the top three lower-tier teams. Like, I just want to sit there and watch the Timberwolves.
On the Minnesota train as well, I'm definitely interested in Minnesota. Probably Utah, because I think this is the playoff year.
No Magic?
No, I don't know. It's different for me too because I have cable, yeah. So I get the Magic. I get every Magic game, mm-hmm. So it's not really a League Pass team for me. I mean, I guess I'm just going to be biased and throw out the Sixers and say I want to watch Okafor and Nerlens play together.
Yeah, yeah. But, I'll be watching some Sixers games.
Yeah, Minnesota though for sure. I mean, Utah Canada, as well.
Canada's got like all these Minnesota players.
Maybe the Raptors. Might
well,
not.
The Raptors count as a
top tier.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so the next question comes from Stuart O'Kell on Facebook. He asks, who's your all-time favorite Aussie basketballer?
Okay, can I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Hands down, this is without question, Cameron Bairstow. Now, Cameron Bairstow, he played 2014-2015 with the Chicago Bulls. He played a total of 18 games where he averaged 3.6 minutes a game. My favorite part about him is that he shot 21%. He made 3 of his 14 field goals for a total of 10 points. But during that span of NBA games, he had 8 personal fouls. He almost had as many fouls as he did points over the span of his NBA career.
That might as well have been a random NBA player of the week.
Yeah.
Hands down, all-time favorite Australian basketball player.
I really like Patty Mills. I really like watching him play.
Dude, come on. Better than Cameron Bairstow?
Yeah, come on, man. Kyrie Irving's on this list, too.
Kyrie Irving technically isn't awesome.
Yeah, so you could pick him. He's probably the best
one. I would have picked him, but honestly, I spend so much time trashing
you
Kyrie
do.
Irving.
You do trash Kyrie Irving all the
Matthew
time.
Matthew Dellavedova, man, you can't forget about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
I like Exum. I just want to see more of Exum. It's like the great mystery.
If Exum is your all-time favorite Australian basketball player, then...
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Bogut's hilarious on Twitter, too, so maybe he's up there. I also can't wait for my future favorite Australian basketball to be future 76er Ben Simmons. So I can't wait for that.
For either of you guys.
You could have totally made that up, and I would have had no idea.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know
if you're
telling
the truth. A part of me thinks you did make that up.
No way. I have his basketballreference.com page pulled up right here on my iPad.
There. Okay.
What about Luke Longley?
I mean, that's another definite candidate.
All right, so the next question comes from Ashawn Ace on Facebook. He asked, one of you guys mentioned going on ESPN. What happened with that? Also, who would you marry, kill, and have one sexy time with when you have to match these three and explain why? Pamela Anderson, Miley Cyrus, and Taylor Swift.
Oh, this is easy.
Well, I guess I'll just answer the ESPN thing quick. I was on ESPN 580 in Orlando pre-draft. I did raps on Mario Hezonja, Willie Cauley-Stein, Porzingis, and I think Justice Winslow. So
it was Winslow.
Do you want to explain to the listeners what raps are?
Yeah, just a quick little profile on them to go with. One of my coworkers is their lead update anchor, and so I did kind of draft previews that would go in his updates for those four players. So that was on ESPN 580 in Orlando.
Cool. And so Pamela Anderson, Taylor Swift, or Miley Cyrus?
Yes.
I think that is so easy.
Wait, were those examples?
Those are three. Those are three.
So who is it? Pamela Anderson?
Miley Cyrus, and Taylor Swift.
And you would want to what?
Kiss, kill.
Marry, kill, and
mess
have
with.
Sexy time with.
Yeah. Marry, kill, and have sexy time with.
And you can only do one with each.
I thought you'd have to do all that to the same one.
No. Like, I'm going to... okay, so I'll give you an example.
Have you ever played this game?
You never played
it? You know, I'm in my 30s.
So, okay, Mary Taylor Swift, I mean, that's hands down. She's a kind of girl you bring home to mama. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, she... And then Miley Cyrus, because she's a freak. That would be... I would have sexy time with Miley Cyrus because she's a freak and that would be fun. And Pamela Anderson, I don't want to even touch that with a pole.
You know, I actually completely concur with everything you just said.
Yep. Yep, that's why I figured it's easy.
I think I agree, but it's so tough because Pamela Anderson just kind of old. But I'm not remotely attracted to Miley Cyrus at all. Oh, I think she's disgusting.
I feel like she would just be crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly what it would be. Like, you would be scared for your life while it's going on.
But like, I'm not attracted to her at all. I mean, Taylor Swift is the clear Mary here.
Oh,
for me.
Of course.
Well, Miley Cyrus hosted like the VMAs or something.
Yeah, she was terrible at it too.
Man, that's fine, but she looked pretty.
Yeah, no, she's got a good body. I'll give her that. Like, she's probably on some kind of hardcore drugs too, but you know, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I agree, but the last two, just Miley and Pam at this point, just don't really do anything for me.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so the final question, and boy, I've been waiting for this one all week.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. This is from Bob I Know on Twitter. He's BigFudge150.
Hey.
He asks, is Tim really God's gift to women? Sure seems like it from his reported conquests and his ability to control women. Tim, I'm going to let you go here first. And then Justin and I will provide commentary.
I mean, all I can say is that I had a lot of fun in my dating life, but I am now hanging out with one ball and one ball solely. So my conquests as a single man are over and done with.
How long, if you don't mind saying this on the podcast, how long have you been with this ball?
About 2 months.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's fairly serious. So anyway, no more. No more conquests.
No more controlling women with your man.
Oh, no, I control her for sure. She just doesn't know it. I mean, we mentioned this on the last
episode. You better hope she doesn't listen to this.
She doesn't.
Okay,
good. We mentioned this on the last episode, but the art of dating a woman is making her think that she made the decision.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
When it's your decision. You're steering it, but you make them think they came up with the idea.
You pick two things you want to do, and then you let them pick.
This is really going to tie into a review we have to read in the next 2 weeks. So please stay tuned for that. We will definitely refer to this conversation at some point. I mean, Tim is just very open.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't figured that out by now. Tim definitely used to do a lot of dating.
And he's good at it, too.
And he's just like, you just put a ton of effort into it, number one. So I think that's a big reason why.
No, it's because I have a perfectly symmetrical face.
Oh,
what?
No, I'm not kidding. When I went and got my my eye test done, it turns out that my face is perfectly symmetrical, and those are those subconscious reasons why women think you're attractive. So women think I'm way more attractive than I am because my face is perfectly symmetrical.
So I'm not attractive because one side of my face isn't equal
to
the other.
Well, do you know that your face is not perfectly symmetrical?
I don't know. I didn't know
that
was a thing.
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's subconscious. So, yeah, that's why.
But yes, Tim is very open about it. So I guess take from this conversation what you will. I don't really know. I'm not gonna put any of your stuff on blast. There's too many people listen to this.
Yeah, no. I think I'm more open on the mic though than I probably am in real life for sure.
Yeah, you're not walking up to random strangers and be like, hey.
No, like I feel like the vast majority of my friends, I don't actually tell them about my life very often. I talk about my dating life a bit, but I don't actually like.
Well, that's what I feel
like. Day to day, talk about my personal life. My closest friends, and you guys are the two of my closest friends here in Jacksonville. But I mean, I don't really talk to you guys about a ton.
Yeah, so I think your dating life, you were definitely more open than you are with other parts of your life. I agree with that.
Like that's easy.
Thank you, everyone, for your mailbag questions. Again, leave them under our mailbag post. It's a Drive-In Dish NBA podcast on Facebook, on Twitter, at Drive-In Dish NBA. Tweet us your questions throughout the week. Use that mailbag hashtag, and we will answer them on the show.
And if you haven't had a chance yet, make sure that you leave us a review on any Android phone that you have, whether or not you use Stitcher, Podbean, anything like that. And if you hit us up on the Twitter and let us know you left a review on one of those apps, we'll make sure to read it.
I also want to, before we talk about our other platforms, say that we are getting into conference previews. It is that time of the year again.
Finally.
So we are so excited to preview the season, get ready to have real basketball back. Preseason is just a few weeks away. And so
as per tradition, starting last year, we will be starting with the defending champions. So that would be the Warriors. And so we will be starting with the Pacific Division. So stay tuned for that. We also have a midweek coming for you guys this week. And we also have another bunch of other surprises. But before we get into them, we have a midweek coming up for you guys this week. It is a big-time interview. I know Tim is really excited about this. We all are. And so stay tuned for that. That episode will be up on Wednesday. This is going up. This is Monday. So this will be going up on Wednesday. And stay tuned. We got a lot more coming for you guys as we get ready for real basketball again.
Way to ramble.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA. You can follow us all personally, me at Justin C on the air. You can follow Tim at Radio Tim NBA. And you can follow Kevin at Refuse to Lose.
What's funny is you have your phone loaded up with our Twitter handles. Like, you don't know them off the
Dude,
top of your head.
We what, the one time, like, no. Remember, like, 2 weeks ago, I said it the one, and I said yours wrong. So we just bring them up.
Like, we spend Monday through Friday tweeting each other, and you have to load up our Twitter handles to figure out what they are.
No, because if I just hit the on TweetDeck, if I just hit the respond thing, I don't have to do it.
And this is what, episode 110 of the podcast, something like that? We've had how many outros with our Twitter handles? Let's just shame Justin at the end of this episode.
All right.
I think we've done enough dancing for today, so why don't we dance Wednesday?
See you, Star Side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Is it all?
Da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
Let's go while we're young.
All right. I think they get the point.
O'clock this morning, 40,000 pounds of frozen chicken scattered across I-95 southbound after a semi gets involved in an accident causing major delays all morning long. Let's go to Tim Tompkins in the traffic center, who's still following those delays.
That's right. It has taken crews a long time to clean up all that chicken, and it's all because that's 40,000 pounds of frozen chicken. That is 10,000 more pounds of frozen chicken than 30,000 pounds, and it is still littering the freeway on 95 south. Two right lanes remain blocked at Lim Turner. Add an extra 15 minutes to your drive from the Trout River Bridge down to the I-10 split downtown. Tim Tompkins, News 104.5.